Welcome to our Memories of School series, a part of the Bowden Education podcast. In these podcasts, we'll be asking people to think back to their school days and the memories, both good and bad, that they have. In this edition of Memories of School, I'm speaking to Lee Hazeldine. Lee is currently a senior lecturer at Canterbury Christchurch University in the Faculty of Arts, Humanities and Education, with a specialism in arts in education, more specifically digital pedagogy. Prior to his work in HE, Lee was a learning consultant in Nottingham, where he would support teachers in developing innovative and effective learning and teaching skills. Lee has a degree in photography, a master's degree in cultural representation, a postgraduate certificate in social science research methods, a PGCE in post-16, and a PhD in philosophy. Welcome, Lee, and thank you for joining us.
Well, hi, Catherine. Yeah, nice to be here.
And I hope you're ready to go back to school.
Absolutely, yes. It's something I'm quite passionate about. Yes, absolutely.
Good. So let's start off. So taking yourself back to your school days, what memories for you stand out?
Yeah, my impression of my school days was being really excited and curious about everything, because everything at the time was new. So every lesson you went to, it was the first time that you'd heard about a particular topic or theme. So in that sense, it was a very, very, very exciting time. And also it was a crucial period as well for a lot of us, because of, you know, you'd suddenly gone from your family to an extended social circle. You know, so it wasn't just your family members and people on the street you was talking to. You'd suddenly developed a wide, more diverse social network of children, and you started developing those skills as well. So in that sense, you know, the cliche is, isn't it, the school days are always the best days of your life, which isn't true, and I don't subscribe to that. However, it's certainly some of the most energising periods of your life in which you learn a lot of life skills. So in that sense, really, 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 really good. I have lots of fond memories, but I tend to be quite an optimistic person. But however, I'd be lying to say that you know, some of the school days as well, there is a flip side, and other periods that caused quite a bit of anxiety. So as a teacher, and also as a learning consultant, very often what I was very, very mindful of is very often when I'm sort of teaching, I always kind of reflect back on my best school days and then think of the worst ones and then make sure that I never, ever do what I consider to be bad practice and those things that cause kind of, you know, trauma within your education and learning process.
So overall, it sounds like that your school days were a fairly positive experience. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it was great. I had good relationships with teachers. I enjoyed the majority of lessons. Gained lots of friends, some of which I would still class as friends that I have now, friends that I've had for 40 years plus, so in that sense, it's good.
And do you have any memories that kind of particularly, it could be an event or a situation that particularly stand out that remind, you know, that occasionally pop back into your head? I know I certainly have mine occasionally that I laugh about or cringe about.
I'm literally just going to, this is a stream of consciousness. So we haven't discussed this beforehand, Catherine, and I haven't given it any prior thought. So these are just things that are just going to come straight to my head. So at primary level, I do remember getting out of a lot of classes and the teacher allowing me and my friend Ian King to skip some, what we considered some of the boring content sometimes, and allowing us to build big Norman castles, facsimiles of these castles. And we've spent ages meticulously making all these things and coming up with, you know, it was almost like engineering problems of how we could fit all these materials together, or thinking of ways which we could, you know, which materials would work best to make the turrets, the doorways and the moats around it. And, so that was really good. And I sort of relished the freedom it was given. And because I was given that sort of freedom, it meant that very often I would just tend to engage more with my my classes, and I would look forward to going to school during the day. So that was certainly something that stood out at a primary school level. At secondary school, I do remember being asked to do a couple of assemblies once. Not that you would look at us as well, but not that you'd know this from me, to look at me, but when during the late 80s and early 90s, I used to be quite a break dancer and used to do all that sort of thing. So because I took an interest in that and was doing lots of break dancing and things and was really interested in that sort of music, I do remember one of the teachers saying, "Would you do an assembly for us on your interest?" And I spent ages planning what I was going to say during this half an hour assembly, and remember delivering that to the school. And at the end of it, it's almost like it's almost quite pathetic. But I do remember teaching one of the students saying to us, "Oh, you'll make a good teacher." And at the time, I never even thought about it. That was certainly not on my agenda of what I wanted to do as a career. But that's what I ended up doing. I do remember once as well, and this is like another strange thing, so we're not talking about anything sort of academic or talking about subject knowledge within the curriculum. But the other thing that does stand out once, and this is, I'm not so proud of this, but I do remember having a bit of an altercation with another student, and just after break, we'd had a dispute, and I was really cross with him. And I had my packed lunch, and I got my cheese sandwich, and I sort of opened it up and went over to him and rubbed it in the side of his face. Okay, so and I remember my friend getting up and walking to the front of the history class and saying to the teacher, "Can I go to the bathroom, please?" It's like, "No, his break's just finished. Why do you want to go to the bathroom now?" Lee Azzledine's just rubbed a cheese sandwich in my face. And so obviously I was called to the front, "Why have you done that?" And then we had a discussion about how I was quite cross with my friend because of what had happened. I won't go into the details. However, as punishment, what I was told to do was go and write an essay about why that wasn't appropriate behaviour. And I spent ages on this essay and thinking about the ethics of it all. And obviously it must have caused quite an amusement in the staff room. But like a week later, I was called by the headmaster. And I thought, I'm going to be in trouble again. But no, it was the opposite. The headmaster asked if he could use what I wrote to do another assembly on. Okay. So he read this thing out, and he said, "I'm going to make you anonymous." And of course, the school and the people were laughing. The pupils were all laughing. I thought, this is all going well, and nobody knows it's me. But he forgot to change my nickname. So of course, like everybody, you suddenly saw like 1,000 faces looking at you, and obviously that was quite embarrassing. So so in that sense, he's kind of almost, to some degree, there was always a sense that potentially, talking or addressing pupils in a school environment was all, it was kind of, there was the kernel there already. And I suppose other things just very briefly would have been, I do remember painting a big mural at school with my friend Darren Parr, which for many, many years after I left the school, it was still there until eventually I think one of the other pupils many years after I'd left had decided to greet graffiti over the top of it, I think, and I think that eventually that went, but that was there for many years, so I can remember being quite passionate about that. So there's some of the positive sort of things or the memories that stick out. It's quite interesting, Kathleen, don't you think, that some of the memories that you do think of are not necessarily the ones which are the kind of what you would call the core learning things, But I will talk about those in a moment. I think to talk about the things that caused anxiety and the things that caused a bit of a challenge at the time, which I didn't really think about. I do remember when I started my secondary education, being really good at maths. So I was, in year one, where we was given a lot of freedom, where we were set projects. It was active learning. We set a problem, and it was this these steps we were given, and there was a Zebedee character, and you had to work out how many combinations this Zebedee would be able to do with these numerous steps and come up with a formula for that. And I spent hours on that, and I loved it. And the end of that year, I was put in set one. The following year, it went to kind of rote learning model where the teacher would just talk at us, and with something like mathematics, which is quite abstract. And the teacher at the time didn't really make much effort to try and involve us or engage us in a way that what we was being taught, the content, related to our own lives. You switch off, you only had to look out the window for a few minutes, you would suddenly get lost. And at the end of the session, the teacher would then try and reiterate and would question you and make you stand up. And that was embarrassing because I couldn't do it then. And then that knocked my confidence. And then the years afterwards, you'd notice that my grades would slip and I'd drop down the sets. And it took a while to build my sets up again, you know, and I had to put in a lot of work to do that. So for myself, when I'm teaching now, for me, it's like if you're not engaging pupils, if you're not catching their interest, and, you know, if you're not doing the soft skill stuff about connecting the content with their real life, you know, human beings are not machines, you know, there needs to be some anchorage for the content to make it relevant to their lives. If you're not doing that, for me personally, it would be perceived as not good pedagogy, not good teaching. You know, I think teaching is very much about connecting with other human beings and making new connections, and being then seen as something that becomes part of their own development, and yet you're connecting your learning journey to their learning journey, and you know, it's almost like creating two paths where, you know, your path suddenly becomes a fork which develops a path for them so that they can go down it and develop the content and skills and the knowledge that you've passed on to them. And it becomes their own road to do with what they wish as well, you know. So it could be anything from science, mathematics, art, history. You know, as soon as you give them that content knowledge, then it's their trajectory to do with what they will. But, you know, to make sure that actually happens, you've got to pass on a baton that makes that has relevance for them. But that's what I believe anyway. So, yeah, sort of interesting sort of a experience. I could probably come up with some other anecdotes, but that's probably enough.
I'm still have noted a couple. I'm thinking, firstly, that I'll be very careful in our next encounter not to anger you, especially if you've got a sandwich in hand. Be very, very careful of that. And also, being someone of a similar age, I could absolutely picture you and the kind of clothes you were probably wearing when you were doing your mid 80s late 80s break dancing. I can't wait to see that one day, maybe. But overall, you seem very passionate, so I'm going to move on to ask about, was there someone at school, it could be a teacher, doesn't have to be a teacher, who influenced or maybe still influences your thinking or had an impact on the way that you actually choose to live your life, the decisions you make and so on?
Yes, there were a couple, and I'm trying to sort of give you examples at different points in the educational journey as well. So I would say that at a secondary school, there was an art teacher called Mr. Abbott. One of the things that, and then there is a certain commonality between the teachers that influenced us. So I remember there was Mr. Abbott and, at a secondary school, and then similarly when I went off to college to do sort of A-levels, etc., and to do sort of B-techs eventually. There was also another teacher called Chris Belcher. The thing that was striking, the thing that distinguished them compared to all the other teachers that I had, is that there was lots of teachers that was good at delivering content and, you know, following, you know, good, what we would call good teaching practice, you know, in terms of like questioning you, assessing you, getting you to reflect upon your own work, all those sort of things that we would say is good teaching practice. But the thing that that was particularly good about them is they took an interest in what you was doing. They would then question you about that particular interest you had or that particular take you had on it. And then what they would do is very subtly would be provocateurs. They would provoke you or give you a challenging question. And because of that was a question that sometimes would take you out of your comfort zone. You know, it would be a question that made you, it wasn't just taking you out of country. It wasn't just a question that would take you out of your comfort zone in terms of, making you feel sort of anxious or challenged. It was more than that. It challenged you, but it also made you more curious. And that was a really interesting thing that they did because of, we as teachers all the time are saying, you've got to challenge all students or whatever their level, if they're at a sort of if they're at a high level or if they're at a lower level in terms of kind of their level of teaching at a particular point in time, we're always told to challenge. But however, what they did as well is they challenged and provoked your curiosity as well. So they'd got that magic sweet spot between challenging you, but doing it in a way that it captured your interest. So you not only felt that you had to go and find the answer or resolve the problem, but you were passionate about doing it as well. And it didn't feel like you were being taught. It felt like you was having an adult conversation about somebody with similar interests. So you would, and because of they were showing respect for you, you would have respect for them. And it made you want to go away and, come up with the good, so to speak, to think, well, actually, I think that's a really, really interesting question. And that's made me really curious. So I'm going to come back with the goods. And, lo and behold, you go away. And perhaps, you put in that extra hour's effort in the evening, or you'd work a bit extra at the weekend because if Monday morning you wanted to impress them or show that you had solved that particular dilemma or problem that had been set you. So I think that, in that sense, we were both very, very good. And also they used anecdotes in the lessons, So you can teach, you can give good, strong learning intentions. You can say what the learning objectives are, are for a session. All that stuff you'd expect to do as part and parcel of good teaching practice. But they always did slightly more of that. It wasn't just about learning objectives. It was also about making sure that they the learning that you was doing was always going to connect something that you always saw the relevance to what learning you was doing to your own particular life and your own interests. And they were very, very, very good at that.
But going back to what you say, it was all pins from the fact that they bothered to get to know you, and none of that could be achieved if they didn't know you and understand you, understand your interests and what makes you tick, if you like. So to me, that was a really important part. Then there's a really good pedagogy about the challenge and the provocation, but none of that would be achievable if they hadn't taken the time to get to know you as an individual student, an individual child.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important in education, that if you can connect with a student, it's all right sort of looking at what, if you look at their achievements. So if in a lesson, you might sort of do a bit of formative assessment and you would then sort of set a student particular targets. But more than that, I think if you can have a discussion with a child and with a pupil and identify and have a discussion with them and connect about what they're interested in as well. And if you can connect the learning and connect it and show that it's relevant perhaps to their own lives, it perhaps gives them that extra, it makes them perhaps shift a gear in terms of wanting to engage with it more as well, So I'll set you a target, but maybe do it in a way that the content of what we're doing to meet that target has relevance for you. And I think that is something that, it certainly worked for me. I'm not saying it would necessarily work for everybody, but for me, it's certainly something that I sort of take on board within my own practice. And as human beings, I think, I think you, as with all people, you tend to connect more with people who show an interest in you, you know, and vice versa. You know, I think that's good. Oh, sorry, the last thing I was going to say, Catherine, was talking about learning objectives, etc. And I was talking about the fact that the teachers that were really influential for me, that was very good at giving, they'll give a lot of anecdotal stories and things as well. And there's a lot to be said for good analogies and good metaphors, because very often the visuals that they create, and a good story sticks in your mind better than just content delivered on a chalkboard or on a PowerPoint presentation. And a good metaphor or a good analogy visually sticks in your mind better. And it's something warmer. It's less cold than just a series of concepts. It could be something as abstract as mathematics or, you know, some of the abstractions that you sometimes get in science. You know, if it was done in an entertainment way and done it with some anecdotal story, more often than not, you would remember it a lot easier as well. So I thought that was always quite good as well.
So if though... And this is my last question for you. I'm going to give you a magic wand now and say that if you could go back and change just something, one thing about school and your experience to make it better or different in a good, positive way, what would it be and why?
I'd like to think that the education environment has got better compared to some of the teaching and learning that I experienced in the 1980s, early 90s, or what have you. But, you know, from the evidence that I'm seeing in certain schools, colleges, etc., it's bending perhaps a little bit in the opposite direction in some quarters. But I think if you're going to get the best out of students, for me, it would be the case that initially, before any content's done, is to introduce the content in a way that is going to capture your pupil's curiosity. And you can only do that if you've got a good idea of what the students are interests and what their passions and things are. And that doesn't mean that you've got to try and differentiate your lesson so every bit of content can be delivered individually to every single student, because that's near impossible. But what you can do is know your individual students, know what certain common themes that they're interested in. You know that through those themes, potentially, that, you know, Fred, you know, is quite a creative thinker, and with that theme that you've set for the class, that kind of anchorage for the session content, you know that student's going to perhaps excel the most if they're given a creative opportunity to address the problem in the content. You know that other student is very organized and likes to do things methodical. So within that menu of activities that you might give a class, what I'm going to do is perhaps say to that student, well, maybe you might want to approach it this way, and could you do it that way, etc. So it's a way of kind of capturing all of your students' interests by knowing what they're going to warm to, but then perhaps just do a slight individual spin and tweak on it to make sure that you're engaging all of those individuals within it. Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of important. And it only happens within time. You're never going to, with that magic wand, it's not going to happen in that first lesson. And it might take, it might happen in the first two or three, but ultimately, you know, if you build that relationship with pupils, it certainly will happen. It does happen. And you can see it, you know.
Do you think teachers are better or have that expectation more now than perhaps when you were at school, when it was, I'm thinking back to my school days really, when I think it was okay just to address the class as one homogenous kind of maths?
Yeah, I mean, I personally really dislike that. I think that you know, it might at the end of the day, you might be able to show a bit of paper and say that all of my students have reached a certain level of attainment. You might be able to sort of do that. However, you know, how much of those pupils actually invested in the content and the curriculum that you've delivered might be questionable. And for me, you know, investment and engagement in any pursuit in life is absolutely important. And that's the thing that ultimately will develop lifelong learning. You know, if you're just getting students to learn content to ultimately get exam grades and things, what an impoverished relationship they've got for, you know, quite a few formative years of their life, you know, their early formative periods of their life has been much about learning things that ultimately the aim is to get grades without it actually connecting with anything that actually matters to their own life. So I would say that things have kind of there's certain bits that potentially have got worse in terms of, you can see elements of that coming back in again with, you know, a focus on teaching towards tests and SATs and things. But there are some positives as well. I mean, reflecting on, and again, there was a lot of that when I was younger as well. And you could say that my later education and some of the teaching that I did throughout my own career has been very much about differentiating and making sure that the teaching captures pupils' curiosity, and it's incredibly inclusive, and you was given more creative freedom. I think as professional practitioners, you know, if all of our job is to teach in a rote fashion, then I think that ultimately AI and computers will be able to do that in the future. The thing that's specific to our particular profession is the art of becoming a provocateur or somebody that can connect with somebody and translate that content in a way that it matters to the pupils. And that's what will never, ever make us as teachers obsolete. And I think that's what defines a good teacher. You know, if you're able to do that. I would say that things in some respects have certainly got better. There was certain bad teaching when I was at school where, you know, it was just sloppy. So I do think, you know, the emphasis on making sure that there are very, very clear learning objectives, so, you know, pupils and students know what they're aiming towards within the lesson. In terms of formative assessment and having regular checks on your progress, it certainly didn't happen that often in some of my lessons when I was a pupil. And, you know, and lots of, because I come from an area of quite a working class demographic, you know, where there was not necessarily a lot of families that would have educational aspirations within their background. I know that there was pupils, a lot of my friends at school, that were equally as clever as I was. In many respects, they were, I would say that a lot of them were more intelligent than I was. They just slipped through the net and probably still think that, you know, they're not particularly clever and don't think they're particularly academic. And the only difference between me and them was because of, I was fortunate to be, to have, you know, strong support networks.
So all in all, thank you ever so much for sharing. But I think what I'm gathering from this, you really see school is, it's all about the people that were there, your friends, your peers, but also the characters that were the teachers and that influenced you and brought you on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if you would agree with this yourself, Catherine. I suppose the point is not to give me your views in this conversation, but character is incredibly important as well. Would you not agree that the pupils don't want to go into a classroom and see a machine in front of them, but what they, if you appear as a teacher that you're passionate and are actually enjoying being in the classroom as well, and they feel that you're on the learning journey with them, you know, so, you know, they feel that there's some visceral connection to the content, you know, then the pupil's more likely to engage because they can see that energy there. You know, if there's no energy in the classroom, it becomes something about dead content. Mm-hmm. Then, why would you want to engage?
I hear that from my own children who it is all about, it's so much more about the teacher than the subject quite often, particularly, at the earlier parts of secondary when they're taking their options. It tends to be that they like the subject, but actually when you think about it and ask why, it's down to the teacher. So I think it's so important. But thank you so much for sharing your ideas. It's fascinating to talk to different people about their school experiences and how good, bad and ugly they've had school and their experiences and their memories of school. So thank you ever so much for joining us today.
Well, no, it was a pleasure, Catherine. I really enjoyed that. Okay.
Thank you. Take care.